Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
You stay in unity together. Number four, unresolved conflicts and disagreements or strife. When you have conflict and disagreement, they ain't just going to go away. We just say, well, we ain't going to talk about it. I'm going to tell you, it's still there. Yeah. When you don't resolve conflicts or come to a solution and agreement on what you're going to do about it, then that thing will just stay there and fester. And that's what we call undercurrent, where ain't nobody saying nothing, but you got some deep-seated feelings on the inside. That's working against your unity. They will fester and eventually blow up. Yes. Undercurrent is a dangerous thing to have working in you, and it's a ticking time bomb. Because if you hold ill will in your heart, or you got things that you're not happy about, and you don't say nothing, and you just laugh and smile and go along, I'm gonna tell you, it's just a matter of time before it erupts. And then it all come out at one time. You say, I don't know where that came from. Undercurrent, you have to keep that out of your life. You got to resolve your conflicts. That means you got to learn how to communicate with each other. You need to learn how to talk to one another and not just talk at one another. You ought to have some ground rules for how you're going to talk. Ain't going to be no cursing. We're going to listen. We're going to try to understand. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to hear your heart, not just your words. All of these things go into making good communication. All right, the next one. All right, listen to this one right here. This is a unity buster. Having a superiority complex or unhealthy competition. Sometimes husbands and wives will compete with one another. You ain't supposed to be competing with one another. You're supposed to be working together. You shouldn't be trying to outdo one another. You got to work together. And then that superiority complex is that Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll begin to believe that you're better than the other person. I'm better than him. He ain't nothing. I'm a good woman, he a rotten man. Or I'm a good man and she a low-down wife. And you get that superiority complex where you think you're better than the other person. Right? See, Jesus had this working in his staff. The devil tried to get in his staff, tried to get on his team. How did he do it? He tried to do it through division. When Jesus would come out of the wilderness, it was a bold, blatant attack. So sometimes the devil is bold, blatant, just come at you, and you know it's him. I mean, he don't disguise himself, he just come at you. Like if you're a man and a woman just come in and offer herself to you and you know you're married, I'm gonna tell you that's the devil coming bold. Yeah. You know that's him, dressed up, looking good. Yeah. But sometimes he real subtle and he don't let you know, he just tried to slip in on you. See, he got a bold attack and then he got a subtle attack. Now, what happened with the disciples was they got in an argument one day. They got into a fuss about who was the greatest among them. And Jesus heard them. And so when they got home, Jesus said, now, what was y'all arguing about back there? And wouldn't nobody say nothing? So then he brought a little child and he said, now, if you want to be the greatest, then you be a servant. I'll tell you when you're the greatest, when you're the servant. If you always looking to be served, if you're looking to be served, then you have the wrong motive. If you think your husband exists just to serve you, then you're mistaken. If you think your wife exists just to serve you and make you happy, you're totally mistaken. You're married because you want to give and you want to serve one another. You should be overboard serving each other. But what happened when division set in? No, it's always, you know, it's all about what I want now. So you can't have a superiority complex, think you better than that man or you better than that woman. Oh, I'm better than them. They need to serve me. They should be taking care of me, how good I am. Right? What you gonna give? I told you it wasn't gonna be too many amen. I ain't getting none. That's all right. The next thing, what breaks up unity? Infidelity. Unfaithfulness. Putting your mind and your hands on someone other than your spouse. You ain't just got to put your hand on them to be unfaithful. You can put your mind on them. Jesus said, if a man look on a woman to lust after, that means they had to desire to have. In other words, that if you had the opportunity, you would do it, then you did it. So unity is destroyed when you introduce another person into that relationship that ain't got no business being there. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. No, 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 no. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. She ain't treating me right. That's why I got somebody on the side. He ain't treating me right. He don't love me. That's why I got somebody on the side. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. Some of y'all need to tell your friends you ain't got no business having somebody on the side. You married for better or worse. Sometimes you got the worst. Didn't you make a vow before God? For better or worse. Sometimes it's worse. For rich or poor. Sometimes it's poor. Good times and bad times. Sometimes it's bad times. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. Yeah. I'm a fool for Christ, you know that? I really am. Y'all got that one? Yeah. Tell your neighbor. Sing it. Tell them again, they ain't hear you. You get rid of that person on the side. If you even thinking about it, you ain't did it yet, but you thinking about it. You being tempted with it. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. You better step away. You better step away. You better back up quick. Cause you ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. Praise the Lord. You ain't supposed to do that. You ain't supposed to do that. Y'all got one thing out of this message, I know. All right, the last one, Unity Buster. I've already mentioned it several times. Selfishness. Selfishness destroys unity. Just works it over. Just breaks it down. You can't always have it your way. What did they say? What'd he say? He's still singing. Maybe I ought to just stop right there then. Maybe that ought to be the message today. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. That'll break down your unity for sure. You ain't supposed to have nobody on the side. Do you hear me? Shout yes, somebody. Let me tell you about selfishness. Selfishness makes you a taker and not a giver. Man. If you get real selfish, you're going to be taking and giving nothing. When all you think about is yourself, you're going to become a taker. And it's going to be always about what the other person's doing for you. And you don't even consider how you're supposed to be helping them. You see how that break down your unity? Yeah. When all you want is what you want, and the other person, you think that other person's supposed to be your slave?
Yeah, all right. That's it.
You got to get rid of these. You can identify all these, and you need to start eradicating them. Now, let me share a few things with you. I think I got a few more minutes here. Listen at this. You say, well, Pastor, that's a real... I mean, this list right here make it seem like, man, how can you even have unity if you got all these things working against you? Well, I'm going to tell you, all of these can be overcome with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit through first love, first work principles. All of these have the devil's fingerprints on them. And Jesus took care of the devil. Jesus destroyed the devil. That word destroyed means he rendered him idle, inoperative, and unemployed. He actually did that for believers. I mean, he broke the power of sin when he went to the cross so that the devil has no business working in your family. Amen. He had no business. All you need to get is the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and the understanding that come from the Holy Spirit, and you can recognize these unity busters when they stand up, and you say, no, we're not going to have that. And if a husband and a wife will grow together in the Lord and work together, they can keep the devil out of their situation. Amen. And out of their circumstances. How many of you know that God is the only one supposed to be working in your life? Yes. Yes. Only God is supposed to be working in you. You ain't supposed to be letting the devil work in you. Amen. Sometimes we look at me and say, he got the devil in it. Devil ain't supposed to be there. He got no business working in you as a child of God. None. Zero. Give no place to the devil. That means at no time do you give him an opportunity to work in your life. Every time he approach you, every time the Holy Spirit shine a light on his works, you ought to be destroying that work. Amen. Protecting and guarding your family. Amen. God is the only one who should be working in your marriage and in your family. If you let the devil in, he will do damage, but it's not God's will. He can be stopped if husbands and wives will get in agreement. Now, let me talk to you about how you get in agreement. The first thing is that you got to find common ground. You have to have common ground. You say, well, Pastor, I got so much disunity in my family. How do I begin to push the division out? And how do I begin to work to get unity restored to my relationship? First thing you got to do is you got to find common ground. You got to find an area where you and your wife or you and your husband is not at odds at. You got to find something you agree on. And stop bringing up everything you disagree on. People always trying to work out things they don't agree on when really you need to cement yourself together on things you do agree on. And I say it this way, always agree. This is the first agreement that you got to have. The first agreement is that the word of God is always right and we're going to live by it. We can agree that we should be doing things like the word say. Amen. Now, a husband and wife ought to be able to agree that the Bible's true. And that the Bible give us the keys to how to live a successful life in Christ. And if I agree that we're going to do it the Bible way, and both parties will agree, okay, we're going to let the Bible be our guide. This is where we're going to start living from the Bible. We're going to start doing it God's way and not our own way. So I'm laying down what I want. Whatever I see in the Bible, it might step all over my toes. But I'm willing to change, and I'm willing to let go of my ways to embrace the ways of God. I'm going to do it God's way. So husbands and wives can find common ground in the scripture. If the Bible say don't do that, then we ain't doing it. If the Bible say do this, that's what we're going to do. We ain't going to question it. We ain't going to argue with it. We're going to ask God to give us understanding, give us wisdom on how to apply it to our lives. But we're going to live by the word. Now I got some common ground. Now I got a place where I can unify them. You got to agree that the word is right and that you're going to live by it, that you're going to do it. That's the first key right there. Amen. And then you got to know that there's a blessing in agreement. That agreement is worth fighting for. Everybody say agreement is worth fighting for. Agreement. It is. Psalm 133 verse 1 through 3 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, if it's good and pleasant for brothers to be in unity together, what do you think about a husband and a wife? Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's on another level. You talk about peace and pleasantness where there's unity. How many of you know that when you're in agreement, how pleasant it is when you're in agreement and you ain't arguing, you ain't fighting, because you both agree on the same thing. How pleasant that is and how good that is when you get in agreement. Even when you want to do something, you agree. Let's go do this. I'm going to tell you how pleasant and how good it is. The blessing of the Lord comes in the place of unity. Amen. It says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. So it's like when you get in a place of unity, it's like an anointing comes on you. And we know that oil that they poured on Aaron, they put it on his head to anoint him and to be a priest. That oil ran down on his beard. It touched every part of him, went all the way down to his feet. Yeah. And that oil smelled good. It had a fragrance to it that was sweet. So unity is a very sweet thing. It leaves a sweet taste in your mouth, whereas division leave a bitter taste in your soul. Yes. Unity produces sweetness, yes. Pleasantness, yes. Peace. Amen. Listen at this right here. We're finished reading this scripture. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So we see that the dew came down to refresh. Hallelujah. So unity produces a refreshing. When me and CeCe in agreement together, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing greater on earth than a husband and wife that's in agreement. And there ain't no arguing, there ain't no fighting, there ain't no fussing. You talk about waking up in peace. You talk about going to bed in peace. You talk about, you know, caring about one another and sharing in life responsibilities together. I'm going to tell you, we've gone months and months without even a crossword.
Amen.
You talk about peace. Then you can really deal with the things that the devil's bringing against you when you got your husband and wife are in agreement together. I'm going to tell you, you can stand together and win in every confrontation.
Amen.
And the devil's easy to notice when he comes. Because if we get crossways, we know what to do. We need to apologize. We need to ask for forgiveness. And we need to go back to the Word of God and say, now, what should I have done? And let the Word be my guide.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Unity is a blessing. And the Bible says that wherever God finds unity among brethren, and that would even include husbands and wives or family, where there's unity there, God commands a blessing there. In other words, there ain't no curse nowhere around. Because God begins to command you to be blessed. How many of you want God to command your household blessed? When God commands your household blessing, everything ain't a blessing have to go. I want to live under the commanded blessing. That's blessing that you ain't even asked for. That's when God say, I'm going to bless you because you're walking in unity. It's a commanded blessing there. Glory to God. And the favor of God is a part of that blessing. I mean, everything you need is a part of that blessing. Unity means to be united. It means a joining together. It means to be alike. It produces the fruit of pleasantness and goodness. It comes with peace. And the commanded blessing of the Lord, even life, the wisdom, the revelation, the understanding, everything you need is in that unity, is in that blessing. Hallelujah. And then we need to know the power of agreement. What kind of power do you have when you agree? I'm going to tell you, Jesus said again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask. If two of you shall agree. Yes. Wouldn't that include a husband and a wife?
Yes.
If they get in agreement?
Yes.
Jesus said the Father's going to do what they ask.
Mm-hmm.
There's power. The Bible says one can chase 1,000. But two can put 10,000 to flight. That means that a husband and wife is 10 times more powerful together than they are as individuals. You got 10 times the power working in you.
Amen.
I remember before we got married, CeCe had bought her wedding dresses from this company for her bridesmaids. And so it was about, 2 weeks before the wedding? 2 weeks before the wedding, whoever took the order had never put the order in. So when she called a check and see to make sure the delivery coming and everything, they said, we have no record of your order.
Oh,
I said, CeCe, we got an agreement. I said, look, hey, don't worry about this. Let's me and you get an agreement. We know what this scripture here say. Two of us agree. I said, let's agree for the wisdom, for the favor, for the divine appointments and the connections we need to get them dresses here. And I remember sitting in the house. We were sitting on the floor, took hands and we prayed and got an agreement. And then we started making phone calls. I'm going to tell you, we went to the regional manager. Before we know it, we was talking to somebody that was over everything. Explain them to them. They say, ma'am, we'll have those dresses to you next week. They had to send those dresses from New York City.
Amen.
We got an agreement. And God worked it out. I remember one day that she used to sell Avon. And her box came in, and we was getting ready to leave. Well, we left the box by the door. Came home, guess what? Box gone. Somebody came under there and got that box. I said, well, CeCe, let's get an agreement. Right? Now, you got to be in agreement. You can't have one agreeing and another not. You can't have one in faith and one in unbelief. That ain't agreement. See, you can't be praying and one of them believing it's going to happen, the other one not. We both believe. I said, Satan, in Jesus' name, you're behind this. We command you in Jesus' name. Bring the box back and put it back where you got it from.
Amen.
And there'll not be no contents missing.
Amen.
And we got an agreement. And we agreed. And then we asked the Lord, return the box. Lord, see to it that box come back.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take that box to come?
It was a few hours later that day.
We left again. We came back, and the box was sitting there. Everything's still in the box. I could go on and on with just talking about agreement and the power that you have as believers. And you can see why the devil don't want y'all agreeing. Because when you don't have agreement, you ain't got no power. But when you're in agreement, you have the presence of God. Because he said, well, two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. You have God's presence and you have his power. Amen. Then there's the pursuit of agreement. You have to pursue agreement. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means to hasten. That means to be quick about it, to always seek agreement. Agreement means being of the same mind. It means to have an undivided opinion. It means to have consensus with one another. In fact, the scripture tells us that we are not to let any division be among us, but we're to be joined together in the same mind and in the same discernment. We're supposed to speak the same thing. We have to even have agreement in our words. Yes. Now, I can tell you times me and her didn't agree on stuff. And it's a struggle. For instance, I got a tree in my front yard. That thing wasn't growing. One year it didn't produce no leaves on it. And I went out there and I said, Jesus spoke to the tree, I can speak to it too. I command the tree to live. Then I put some fertilizer around it. And CeCe said, that tree dead. Cut it down. You need to get rid of that tree. I said, don't mess with my faith. Leave my faith alone. That's my faith project. I said, just keep your mouth off the tree. So I know I wasn't going to get no agreement with her. I said, but it's just me and God now. So I said, look, I don't need agreement for you on this one here. This is my project. And last year, I had somebody come and cut all the dead stuff off of it. Still didn't do nothing. But I kept on speaking. I passed by my car and said, you're going to live, not die. You're going to be beautiful. And this year, boy, them limbs will start sprouting up all over the place. Coming out of there. And I passed by and said, CeCe, look at the tree over there. Even my neighbor noticed. She said, your tree's doing much better this year, ain't it? What? What that got to do with anything? We ain't in agreement on that. She talking about basketball now. Now, she always go with who I'm going. I don't know why she trading out being a traitor. We have so much in common. She like everything I like. I don't like everything she like, but she like most everything I like because I'm kind of common. But she root for all the teams I root for. She like all the shows I like to watch. I put Animal Planet on yesterday. And I said, boy, I just love them. I love seeing them animals out in the safari. She said, I like that too. I said, why are you always trying to be like me? She said, oh, I like shows like that too. I said, why are you always trying to be like me? I said, you just copy everything I do. That's a blessing. So we ain't arguing about what we gonna watch. You know how many times the TV done put people on opposite sides of the bed? Come over here, baby, give me a little sugar. You wouldn't let me watch my show tonight. We ain't getting nothing. I have a lot more. But I think I'm gonna stop right here because of time. But what I was going to talk to you about now, and I'm going to have to wait till next time, is that I'm going to talk about the fundamental areas of agreement, the areas that you need to work on being in agreement. There's about 7 of them that you just can't allow disagreement. There's 7 areas of your marriage that you just cannot allow the devil to get a foothold in. Because if you get these areas right, then those areas where you don't agree won't even amount to nothing. Right? Because, you know, two imperfect people not going to agree on everything, but you got to agree on the majors. Mm-hmm. Right? And then the little stuff, you know, you just let that stuff be like chaff in the wind. It don't amount to a hill of beans anyway. So I'm going to talk to you about that, and then I'm going to talk to you about the restoration of agreement. How do you let God restore the agreement to your marriage? That's what I want to talk about.